And welcome to our listeners that joined us on Facebook. You're listening to us again from the studio. And if you missed the first part of our interview, you can find it on Facebook as well or on SBS website, our first interview about anorexia. And our studio guest, if you just join us, is Professor Stephen Towers from Sydney University. Professor Towers is a world expert when it comes to eating disorders, to anorexia, bulimia, and obesity. As I said, if you want to hear about anorexia, go back and listen to our live feed. It's on Facebook or on the website. And I wanted to ask Professor Towers, what obesity means. Is it somebody 5 kilo overweight, 10 kilo overweight? Some people 2 kilo overweight, they see themselves obese. What is real obesity?
Yes, I treat, and I think my background, as I've said, is treating eating disorders, and my speciality is severe anorexia nervosa when people are extremely underweight. I am working with patients with binge eating disorder, and a significant number of obese patients have binge eating disorder, which is a disorder where you lose control of your eating and you tend to eat significant amounts of high energy food, short period of time, without any compensatory behavior, such as exercise. You tend to increase in weight. Obesity is usually defined in terms of body mass index. My patients with anorexia nervosa might be significantly underweight, yet they feel fat and will tell me they're obese, but they couldn't possibly be obese because they hardly have any body fat on them. Obesity is usually defined by body mass index, which is not a very good measure, but it's a measure that's easily obtainable. You divide your weight in kilos by your height in meters squared. You get a body mass index, and usually if your body mass index is above 30, it's suggesting you getting into the obese range. We all tend to, especially patients with eating disorders, feel fat even when they are very thin. So I think when we talk about being obese, we're talking about a health issue, a significant health issue. It's an implicates many bodily systems, and it is significant cost to the individual as well as society. To the individual, I'm aware of so many young people who get teased at school because they're overweight, and it's especially in our society where we have this overemphasis of young girls being skinny. If you're an overweight young person at school, there's a stigma of that, and males as well. So there's the personal cost in terms of just the stigma of being obese, the lack of energy, and then there's the health costs to yourself and to society, because long-term obesity leads to significant health costs in terms of blood pressure, in terms of cardiovascular issues, diabetes, and so it leads to many, many complications later on.
Well, in our society that we know, I mean, we are aware of health issues. We are aware of appearances. It's self-confident. You know, if you're a teenager and you're really fat, you lose your confidence. What causes obesity? I mean, why is it so prevalent? Why we see so many fat people around, real fat people?
Yes, I think that's a question you should probably get someone who's a world expert on obesity in here to answer all of those things. But I think that society has changed. We now stay up later at night. We have Facebook. We have SBS radio. We have television. We tend to get up early, go to bed late at night. There are many more opportunities to eat. We're all terribly busy in our lives, and don't find time to appropriately exercise. And young people today, with the modern technology that we have, such as iPads and whatever, from almost babies in strollers to I've seen that, and it's kind of interesting. I think there probably is strollers that you can buy for your child now with a built-in iPad, that right from the beginning, to amuse our children, we are giving them things to do that gets them to sit in chairs like Nietzsche and I are doing now, rather than when we were children out there playing in the garden and getting a lot more exercise. So I think what's going down is exercise. We don't find enough time to exercise. Food food is becoming so easily available in affluent societies. The food, to make it taste better, is much fatter. We like foods that are high in carbohydrate and high in fat. And if you keep taking in more of these foods and you are exercising less, the risk of gaining weight is obviously significant.
What I was talking when I was broadcasting before, I was talking about eating disorder and the diets. They call it the yo-yo diets, that people decide, oh, I look so fat, I better do something about it. And they adopt these crazy diets to lose weight. And then they really lose weight and they look fantastic. They lost like 20, 30 kilos. I'm talking about really losing weight. And then a few months later, they put on the same weight even more.
Yes, I think the evidence scientifically, and again, the obesity scientists working on this, and Sydney University has a huge center now called the Charles Perkins Center that's entirely devoted now to the research on obesity and the treatment of obesity. But the evidence is quite clear that extreme diets just don't work. The longer you diet, the more the body works against you, your physiology works against you, and extreme dieting, yes, you get the satisfaction of losing weight, feeling good, but the tragedy of that is it's short-lived. And we can get people to lose weight, but what we can't seem to be able to do at this stage is how to help them to keep the weight that they've lost off. And yo-yo dieting is a problem because each time you yo-yo diet, you lose fat and muscle. But when you put the weight back on, you tend to put on more fat than muscle. So there's a book called Dieting Makes You Fat. And if you keep doing this yo-yo dieting, your percentage of body fat actually goes up. So the problem is not so much to help people lose some weight. We can do that. And weight loss is difficult. And most people who start lose nice amounts of weights in the beginning. But the amount of weight you lose gets less and less and less. And so for the effort that you're putting in, the reward is getting less and less and less. And it depends where you start from. If you start from being significantly overweight, 30 kilos overweight, and you lose 5 kilos, I would think that would be fantastic. You are now 5 kilos less than you were. But the individual would say to you, I've still got another 20 kilos to go, I'm dissatisfied.
So what do you advise if you can't, first of all, avoid the yo-yo diets, the quick fix.
I think quick fix diets don't work.
But, like you hear about these diets, you eat 5 days, you starve for 2 days.
Yes, I'm reminded, I'll just tell you a quick story. I love stories and I know I don't have a lot of time, but I was at an anorexia nervosa conference in Montreal and it was rare. I had about an hour free, and across the road from where the hotel where the conference was a big bookstore. And I thought, I'll just go in there. I love books. And I went in there and there was a young girl at the reception and I said, I want to buy a book on how to diet successfully. And she said, I don't know, but we have a computer system that will tell you. I'll go to the computer system. She said, can you wait a moment? And I did. And a few minutes later, she looked up at me and said, you know, we don't have a book on how to lose weight. We have an entire floor on books how to lose weight. And the point there I want to make is there's many books about dieting as there are different diets. You do not have to have any qualifications whatsoever to write a book about dieting and losing weight. So I think that one's got to be careful. One constantly hears about a new diet. Everyone, you hear someone who's been successful on their diet. There's no doubt there are a few people who succeed. They have a particular personality. They go on a diet, able to stick to it and do lose weight. But for most of us, that doesn't work.
Well, it seems like a fashion thing that one time this diet is fashionable and sometime this diet is fashionable. So what do you advise people if they really want to lose weight and keep the weight down?
Well, I think that's the problem. Losing weight, we know, but keeping it down is difficult. I think it's lifestyle, and we all have to change lifestyle. I think that's hard to do because we're busy people. I think we have to be much more careful. I'm someone who advocates eating a balanced meal. If you go to a wedding, you should be able to have a slice of wedding cake. And on Friday nights, if you want some challah or bread, you should be able to have that. So I'm someone who advocates being sensible about eating. Eating no sweets, no chocolates, no cakes, no biscuits for the rest of your life is simply not going to work, because in the end, that's what you will do. When you do that, you feel a total failure, and then you just give up. So I advocate seeing a nutritionist who can advise a well-balanced meal plan for you, and make sure that you get enough exercise. And if you can't get to the gym and you can't go for walks, go for swims. There are ways each day. There are now desks. I see you don't have one, but I see wherever I go are standing desks now, where you can actually stand and be on your Facebook page rather than sitting down. There are ways that we can try and increase the amount of energy that we expend.
Well, walk with your friends. You know, at least once or twice a week, that I found for myself is fantastic. But I wanted to ask you about it because I think it's also what you have in your fridge at home. We don't buy soft drinks, and I heard about sorts of interest group calling the government to impose tax on sugar,
yes,
to make sugary drinks more expensive. But won't people have the sense not to buy those cold drinks, keep in the fridge, or have all these biscuits and things at home so the kids don't have access to it?
Yes, I think now the government in Australia is looking at the model set up in the UK with a sugar tax on sugary drinks. I'm someone who comes from the opposite kind of point of view. I feel we need to teach responsibility. We need to teach young children the different kinds of foods, have different energy levels. And as long as we're sensible and stick to basic knowledge, then you know, we're not going to end up having an over too much of the kind of foods that cause us to gain weight. I'd like to see the data out of London. I think it might still be too soon, but Britain has clearly introduced a tax on sweet drinks, beverages, in a hope that that might reduce the consumption of those high energy drinks.
And what's about operations for really obese people to, you know, there are different surgical ways to assist them?
Sadly, and I think in some ways, not sadly perhaps for surgeons who are doing a good job here, but sadly the one treatment that seems to be working for people with obesity is surgery. And I think that's unfortunate, but it's, you know, the rest of us have failed in a sense of finding a treatment that gets someone to lose the weight that they need to lose, and then having and the ability to keep that weight off. Surgeons are able to do that with the various surgical procedures that they use. And in a way, it's life-saving, because if you're very obese, you lose the weight, you keep the weight off, it's really going to give you a much healthier life for years to come. So at the moment, surgery, which is a highly expensive way to solve the problem of obesity, and it could never solve the problem of obesity because everyone cannot get surgery for obesity. We need to find other ways to help individuals to actually lose the weight but keep it off once it's lost.
So, as you said, I think it is education. If you have young children or grandchildren, well, teach them what's about healthy food. Give them lots of vegetables, fruit, vegetables. They can still have a treat. Because,
yes, absolutely.
Because, like you said, if you can't deny children ice cream and treats, I mean, that's a very important part of life.
And if you do it, they'll go to a friend where it's available, and then they'll overeat it. So sensible, knowing that they can have some and then stop, would be a good thing.
Professor Stephen Towers, I think it's been incredible having you here at the SBS studios in our Taman. And thank you, our Facebook listeners, our Facebook viewers, and our listeners around Australia that joined us today. I hope that you learned something from Professor Stephen Towers. He's a world expert when it comes to dieting, to eating disorders and anorexia.